Hey, this is Chris Brown, and this episode is brought to you by Vanderblumen, the search group who helps churches and ministries build great teams through their innovative pastor search and church staffing process. Visit westaffthechurch.com to learn more.
Ramsey Solutions presents Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
What if American households today got serious about stewardship? Not some old historic church word and not some fundraising campaign, but true biblical stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way for God's glory.
Welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's your host, Chris Brown.
Well, hello, friends, and welcome to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. I'm your host, Chris Brown. The phone number to call in is 866-357-3283. Again, that's 866-357-3283. We'll be giving you that number a few more times throughout the broadcast. You can also email in at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com, chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. We're going to jump right to the phones, get straight to the calls today. And it looks like we've got a call already lined up from Dallas, Texas. This is Paige. Paige, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm better every day. How can we help?
Well, I have a question about whether or not I should include my student loan debt in my debt snowball. My husband and I recently had to put our debt snowball on hold when we moved from California to Texas. Mm-hmm. And we keep going back and forth about whether we should include it in our debt snowball because it's such a large amount.
Yeah.
We have, our income is $100,000 or close to $100,000 a year. And we have $21,000 in other debts and $76,000 left in our student loan. It's just going to take us so long to get it paid off that we weren't sure if we should kind of push it back to baby steps like 4, 5, and 6.
Okay. Well, I've got some good news for you, Paige. And I've got some challenging news for you, too. So I'm going to give you good news and then a little bit of a soft challenge for you. I know 76,000 seems gigantic, but when you compare that to your income, comparatively speaking, those who call in here and those who reach out in a variety of different ways, whether it be on Twitter or any kind of social media, that's about normal. It's about 9 months to about 18 months worth of debt in relation to an income. So, for instance, the worst I've ever seen is medical student loans, where it's $500,000 and they're only making $150 or $200.
Yeah.
But most people, if they're making $40, they owe $30. If they make $60, they owe $50. It's pretty typical. So that's the good news.
Okay.
The challenging news is that I still need you to take care of that in baby step two, not to prolong it. If you prolong it, 76 is going to grow into 81.
Right.
And you don't want that. So I know it's a big number, and I don't want to just flippantly like, no big deal. No, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
So I want to be sensitive to that. However, I do want you to know that you can put together a plan to get rid of this. What you're going to have to do, and I don't know, you know, you're calling from Dallas, and there's parts of Dallas where this is impossible, and there's some parts of Dallas where it's not. But you need to put together a budget where you're living off of potentially $40,000 or $50,000. Now, if you're in a suburb that's real expensive, that might be more like $70,000 or $80,000.
Yeah, we are.
Okay. Well, if it's $70,000 or $80,000, then you're still putting away $20,000 towards this a year. And so you're on a 5-year plan to pay off all $100,000.
Okay. Yeah. And that's what we're concerned about, is that it's probably going to take us, you know, five years to get this taken care of. And, you know, at that point, then we have to save for emergencies, and we're going to be close to 50 before we can finally start saving for retirement. And that just makes me really nervous.
I completely get that. And it's a legitimate concern.
Yeah.
I would say that's a very legitimate concern. So you've got to not only play within the box of the current income, you got to get creative on maybe getting just another $10,000 a year would be big. Another $1,000 a month, or just some kind of creative solution to maybe another $20,000 a year. But if you can somehow squeeze that budget, you've heard this before because you referenced baby step two, you referenced debt snowball. You know that this should stay in baby step two. You just got to squeeze more, earn more, and all of that gap, all that difference can squeeze 5 years into three. The difference between 5 years and 3 years is intensity. If you just pet this thing, it will not go away.
Right.
And I got a funny feeling you know that. You just kind of needed a little bit of a pet talk.
Yeah. Yeah, I was hoping you would say something different, but you're right. I know you're right.
Yeah, let me pray for you. I know this is hard. Kayla, can I pray for you?
It. Yes, absolutely.
God, we come to you right now. This is a big deal. This is a, God, you tell us about this in the scriptures, that this is a weight. This is a bondage. This is real. And I pray, God, right now that we know you're not just going to take it away. It's not going to go away. But God, we just ask that you would be right there with Paige, that she would feel your presence, that she would walk in your promises, that she would be encouraged, that she'd be uplifted, that she would know that there is hope. And that hope is in your son, Jesus. I pray, God, that she would be encouraged, she'd be uplifted, and God, that she would actually be documenting how you come through month after month after month so that she can shout your name from the rooftops during the process and after. God, I just pray that you would give her a glimpse of what life looks like to get this done. I pray that you would put inside of her the ambition, the diligence, the hard work, everything that's necessary to make this happen. God, we know that we are weak, and we know that you're strong. And in our weakness, you're even stronger. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you,
Paige,
so much.
You got this, and we're excited. Hey, call us throughout your journey and tell us about the update. Right now, you're right around 100 grand. Keep giving us updates, because we want to cheer you along with the journey.
Sounds good. Thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Paige.
This is Chris Brown's True Stewardship.
I know firsthand the passion the Vanderbloom and Search Group has for helping churches and faith-based organizations find their key staff, since they actually connected Ramsey Solutions with me. If your church is looking for its pastor or any key staff member, reach out to Vanderbloomen at westaffthechurch.com. They're the leading search firm for churches and faith-based organizations of all sizes and can help find the right candidates that fit your church's unique needs. Find out more at westaffthechurch.com. Well, folks, you're listening to Chris Brown's True Stewardship. This is the call-in show. Talk about your life. Talk about your money. The phone number is 866-357-3283. Again, 866-357-3283. And the email is chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Well, folks, got an email here from Beth. Says, hello, love the podcast. I've listened to every episode, but I still have a question. Uh-oh. Dun-dun-dun-dun. I'm an FPU, a Financial Peace University coordinator. Every session during the dumping debt lesson, people ask about renting cars. The attendees who have attempted to rent without a credit card testify of difficulties. Since I haven't traveled all that much, I cannot speak from firsthand experience, but I know that the Ramsey Solutions team definitely does not use credit cards. That is true, but travels extensively. Also true. So what is your solution? I told my class I'd find out and let them know. Thanks so much for all you do. Well, all I know is that we use Hertz, we use Enterprise, we use National, and we have zero problems and no extra costs. And that's just three. So I don't know about all the other companies, but zero problems. I've recently used... I used another one too, didn't have a problems, even though it wasn't part of Ramsey, it was just personal travel. So, I don't know, maybe call ahead, find out what the rules are ahead of time. Occasionally at a hotel, they'll put a hold on my debit card, which frustrates me, because it's a debit card, they'll put a hold on it. Very annoying, but much better than messing with debt. I'm not messing around with that stuff, so never had a problem. I have not had a credit card for 20 years, my entire adult life. Never had a problem renting a car. So I don't know where that comes from. All right. Next up from La Crescenta. I messed that. La Crescenta, California. Bob and Amanda are making fun of me. This is William. William, how are you?
Hi, Chris. How you doing?
I'm better every day, and I'm still learning how to pronounce certain cities.
That's okay. You did pretty close. You got it pretty close.
Okay. Thank you.
I'm 66 years old. I applied for Social Security last week. I got a call yesterday from Social Security, and they said, oh, we noticed you have a minor child. I said, yeah. And they said, well, she's under 18. She gets a Social Security payment as well. which I was not even aware of. I thought the only way you could get that is if you died as a a survivor benefit. But she's going to get this benefit. So here's the deal. Here's my question. I want to save this money because I'm probably going to have enough money to support her, even retired. And I won't need this payment, really.
Yeah.
I might, but it's nice to have it there. But I'd like to save it because she's 11 years old. We don't have any college savings for her, and we could put this aside every month and save it. Now, what's the best way I can save some money like that?
Well, if you had mentioned college, if you know what it's probably going to go towards, there's two great vehicles for the college option, the 529 plan and the ESA. Those are great vehicles for that. And so all you need to do is just contact one of our SmartVestors at stewardship.com. They'll get you all set up with, you'll know the pros and cons of both. They both have pros and cons. I think for this scenario, I would probably go with the 529, but make sure you've got it all laid out, the top 10 pros, top 10 cons for each one of them. Because, you know, one of them, it's you can use it for college and high school. One of them, you can put in more per year. The ESA, you can only put in $2,000 a year. There's just pros and cons to both.
Yeah.
If it's not going to be necessarily tied to college, you're not really sure about that, maybe just a great growth stock mutual fund. Make sure that as you're investing into mutual funds, you want to have it broken up. Obviously, a mutual fund is already diversified, but you want to diversify within it, 25% in growth stocks, 25% in growth and income, 25% in aggressive, and 25% in international. Your SmartVestor will know all that stuff. But a good growth stock mutual fund is perfect for that. She's, how old is she? You said
she's 11. So
yeah, so
7 years of payments.
Yeah, I think, you know, for a mutual fund, I like it being in there more than 5 years, ideally 7 years, to make up for the fees that go along with it. Your return's going to be worth the ROI on the fees. So a good growth stock mutual fund's another option. I think both of those are great. Again, you want to make sure you go to one of our stewardship.com. If you go on there under Chris Recommends, there is what's called SmartVestor. And
all right,
in every city, almost every city across America, we've got what's called SmartVestors. And they're people that know exactly what we teach. And you don't have to worry about, they're trying to push some weird product on us. We've already filtered them. So they're a good option for you.
Right.
But again, go to stewardship.com. Chris Recommends. And just remember, this is much deeper than trying to get money to grow. It's deeper than that. Proverbs 13:22 says, a good man leaves an inheritance to his children's children. This is you providing a legacy for the next generation. So it's deeper than just money. You're doing the right thing. And I just want to say, way to go.
Oh, well, great. Thank you very much. I appreciate it because, you know, this is an opportunity. Just 3 days ago, I didn't know that she was going to have money for college. Now I do.
Yep.
Kind of out of the blue. So I want to, I think it's the Lord, you know, providing something that I wasn't even expecting.
Yes. And I would, as you're in your prayer time, I think he's going to solidify in your mind that I think is going to turn into I know. And you're going to shout his name from the rooftops and give him the glory. It's going to be awesome.
Great.
All right. We appreciate the call.
Thank you, Chris.
All right. Bye-bye. Well, folks, if you've been thinking about investing lately, that brings up a good point. It's really hard to just dive right in. If you're brand new to it, right? You need to know how it works and why you actually need to invest. Well, imagine working with an investing professional like I just recommend, who explains every detail in a way that you can understand it, who offers guidance for your situation, who treats you like a person, not a transaction, who doesn't judge you no matter your age, account balance, or financial knowledge. That's why you need to work with one of our SmartVestor pros. So if you need someone you can count on to help you take control of your future, go to stewardship.com, click on Chris Recommends to find a SmartVestor pro right there in your area. Don't wait to get educated on your future. Go to stewardship.com, click on Chris Recommends, then click on the link Find a Pro, and you'll get started today.
We're thankful to have you with us today on Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Remember, we want to hear your questions and your success stories. We're grateful for what God has done and the progress that you are making as part of our stewardship family. Email Chris at chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. That's chrisbrownonair@stewardship.com. Or you can call us and leave us a voicemail at 866-357-3283. That's 866-357-3283. And now we continue with Chris Brown's True Stewardship. Here's Chris.
All right, folks, got an email here from Andy. Says, hey, Chris, we currently have multiple savings accounts through GE Capital at a 1.05% return for our emergency fund, for our quarterly bills, vacation fund, and Christmas tax fund. Approximately $4,000 to $5,000 at a time we have in there. GE Capital is selling all their online assets to Goldman Sachs. Yuck. Wasn't Goldman Sachs part of the huge bailout by the government in 2008? Should I be concerned or look for another bank with a better track record? Well, Andy, I think all that depends on your convictions. I personally don't get into all that. My four biggest things that I'm concerned about when I think about emergency funds and savings. And for all you listening in, maybe you can maybe jot these things down if you can. But first thing I'm looking for is FDIC insured. I want to make sure that this money is going to be safe and insured. Number two, I'm looking for no fees. There's enough in the marketplace out there, enough places where I can put my money where there's no fees that I shouldn't be paying any of those. Third thing I'm looking for is on my end. Is there the right amount in there? Do I really have 3 to 6 months of savings in there? Is there too little? Is there too much? Or is there the right amount? That's another thing I look for. And the fourth thing I look for, is it convenient to get to? Is it liquid? Is it going to take me 3 weeks to get to it? Is it going to take me 3 days to get to it? Or could I go down to the bank right now and get the money? And I want to make sure it's as liquid as possible. It needs to be available during an emergency. And a couple things to think about that convenience is I would encourage everyone listening in to make sure you have accountability when it comes to that convenience. Because it's that convenient, flesh, right? We're weak and we can have impulse moments. And so we've got to make sure that if we're married, our spouse needs to have some, you know, there needs to be some accountability through our spouse. If you're not married, maybe it needs to be a trustworthy friend who has your best interest in mind. But there needs to be some accountability when it comes to that convenience. A little bit of bonus for you when it comes to savings. Make sure you remember, because you put a lot in that email about returns and 1.05% and all that kind of stuff. Remember, everybody, it's not an investment. It's insurance. So please, no hyper-focus on interest rate. Whether it's 0.03 or whether it's 1 on those small amounts of money, it doesn't really matter. It's insurance. It's not an investment, okay? And I don't say this enough on the show, too. There's a danger in saving, too. Did you hear me? There's a danger in saving. It can become addicting in a really bad way. Hebrews 13:5 says, keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Let's not put our trust in money. It is good wisdom. Proverbs 21:20 tells us that. In the house of the wise is choice food and oil. Let's put money away. But we are not worshiping the provision. We're worshiping the provider by stewarding the provision. Huge difference. This is Chris Brown's True Stewardship, and I'm your host, Chris Brown. The call-in number is 866-357-3283. One more time, it's 866-357-3283. Our next call comes in from Modesto, California. This is Amy. Amy, how you doing?
I'm doing good today. Thank you.
Good. Welcome to the show. How can we help?
Well, I'm looking for some encouragement for my husband. About 3 years ago, he took a promotion and his salary increased significantly. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of walks the line between fear of saving money. And so to just reel him back and encourage him that our income's a blessing and not a hindrance.
Mm, that's good. I deal with a lot of people who deal with this issue. And the problem with what we teach sometimes is that you can take it too far and you actually put too much eternal security in little green stuff. There's wisdom, and then it goes to another level. Let me tell you a passage that really explains this pretty well. And here's what my recommendation would be for you, is for you two to read and pray over this passage. Here's what it says. Luke 12, mm-hmm. 15 through 21. It says, then he said to them, watch out! Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A lot of times we think about greediness and we think about, you know, that typical, stereotypical, you know, character on a show that's all greedy, has got all the cars and the possessions, but all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. And he told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Check this out. Then he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I'll store all my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you've prepared for yourself? This is how it'll be with whoever stores up things for themselves, but is not rich towards God. And so I'm not saying that he is this person in this passage. I'm just saying he is acting as if a kind of a cousin to this. He's putting a little bit too right. much emphasis on the stuff. And it's a kind of greed, and we're all susceptible to it. So let me point you towards a resource. That's one thing you guys can do. Okay, but here's another mm-hmm. thing to dive in a little bit deeper into this. We have an article at stewardship.com, front and center, and it is, I mean, everyone listening in needs to go check this out, because I would think if you are a consistent listener on this show that this could possibly be an obstacle for you in the future. And it's 4 practical steps to help you find balance in spending and saving. And it talks about losing the guilt, Ecclesiastes chapter 5, don't be anxious about your future, Philippians 4, giving thanks, James 1, practice generosity, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 11. It's got a lot of great meat in there. So we're going to put it front and center on stewardship.com. And I just think anyone listening in, I'm telling you, you owe it to yourself to go check that out. And your husband is not alone. I would bet that a lot of our listeners deal with that as well. So your first call to action is to read and pray over that passage together.
Yes.
Okay?
That we can do. Thank you so much.
All right. Appreciate the call.
All right. Thank you.
Bye-bye. All right, folks. Got a testimony email from Joyce, and I'm telling you, this is going to encourage the mess out of you. I hope you're ready. She says, many years ago, my husband, Cleve, had a heart attack and had a 3-bypass surgery. Consequently, he was off work for about 6 months. We had a lot of bills at that time, and it was a struggle sometimes to pay them, but we managed. His disability pay was about 1/3 of the usual pay. However, we had signed a pledge with the church that we would pay our regular tithe every month. Ouch. I, being the financier of the home, told Cleve that there was no way we were going to get our bills paid. What to do? Okay. I decided, hang the bills. We need to honor our pledge, which was now on his disability, about 30% of our new meager income. So we did. Our pastor and a good friend each gave us $1,000. We didn't want it, but they insisted, so we just put it into savings. Do you know? We got our bills paid on time each month and still had plenty for daily living. It happened again when at work. He broke his hip, and the same thing happened. We couldn't believe how money was always there for our needs. There was no other income, so it was kind of like scratching our heads. After that, I had to hold Cleve back from giving everything away. By the way, we gave that $2,000 back untouched. Even today, I find the more I give, the more I have left over at the end of the month. God is so good. Folks, I hope that encourages you. I don't know where you're at with this whole generosity thing. I don't know where you're at with this tithing thing. But I hope that encourages you. And I also hope it encourages you to send in your testimonies. A lot of you are reluctant to do that because you feel like you're bragging on yourself. This right here is proof that you can send in a testimony and it doesn't feel like bragging. The difference between bragging and modeling is the heart. The difference between bragging and modeling is the heart. It's the motive. Which reminds me, our definition of stewardship, managing God's blessings God's way, here's the third part, for His glory. It is obvious that paragraph that was emailed in from Joyce is to give God the glory. And man, I'm telling you, your testimonies, that encourages many of you right now. You have those kind of stories. We want more. We want more. We want more. So hopefully I made that pretty obvious. Well, folks, it has been an absolute pleasure today. Thank you so much for your calls. Looks like we had one from Dallas and a couple from California. Really, really appreciate your engagement in the show. Don't forget, you can get all your investing questions answered by one of our SmartVestor pros by going to stewardship.com. Just click on Chris Recommends, then click on Find a Pro, and you can get started with an investing professional right there in your area. God, we love you. We all are doing different things today all over this planet of yours that you own. You've entrusted with us. You've given us dominion over. We pause and we recognize that you are the Almighty God. Thank you for trusting in us enough to manage your creation. And thank you for caring about all those little hairs on our head and giving us an open invitation to cast our cares upon you. We love you, God. It's in your name we pray. Amen.